Hello, guys. Welcome back to Lions Talk Podcast. I am your host, Bobby Regan. First things first, I just want to apologize for such the long break in content. with COVID going on and, there not being a ton of sports news, no preseason, training camp, very little was ever coming out of it. So, wasn't a lot to talk about. Besides that, I mean, I just got a new job. So, I was focusing on starting that up and making sure everything went smoothly there. Also got a new apartment during this time, so over the past couple months, it's been a little crazy, but everything's settling down. I'm ready to talk some Lions again, and we just had a football game. And that is what we're going to talk about. We are going to talk about that football game. And judging Twitter, my Twitter feed and even the tweets I made, a lot of us were very emotional after that game. And I'm not here to tell anyone they were wrong for being emotional. I understand the frustration of that first game. And everyone's frustration seemed to be the same one that I had. It was pretty much the exact same thing we saw game one last year, except for with a worse result. At least last year, we came out with a tie in overtime against the Cardinals. This year, not only do we lose, but we lose a division game. Not just a division game, but a very winnable division game. Now, I was going to record this episode on Sunday, right after the game, give my fresh thoughts. But after that game ended, I watched it over at my parents' house, drove back home, about a 30-minute drive, and in that drive, made the decision that I should wait. I should wait a couple days and just really let everything sink in, so that my response wasn't too in the moment and I could come at it more from a from an analytical perspective, more from a level-minded perspective. And I've let it set. I've cleared my head. Watched a lot of basketball. My Boston Celtics, I'm a big Boston Celtics fan. They're playing in the Eastern Conference Finals. And here we are a couple days later, and that loss still hurts. But I rewatched the game, and the first thing I want to talk about is I want to talk about the good, and I want to talk about the bad. So first off, let's go through the good. Let's go through who played good. Now, a lot of people wanted to say the defense played good through the first couple quarters when, Coleman was healthy and Trufant was still out there. And they played fine. They played fine. The pass coverage was pretty solid. Mitch Trubisky is not a great quarterback, so it's not the easiest person to judge against. But the receivers weren't getting a ton of separation. The defensive front seven was something I was so excited to watch. Trey Flowers got it going by the end of last season. Deshaun Hand pretty much did not play last year. I was so excited to see what he could do with the pass rush. Damon Harrison was terrible last year, and Danny Shelton had a very solid season last year for the Patriots. I was really excited to see what he would do. You could look at the linebackers. Tavai, who I thought had a pretty good rookie year coming into his second year in the league. Davis, who's an athletic freak. He might not be the most, he might not have the highest IQ of football players, but he's still an athletic freak, and he can make big plays. Jamie Collins, I was so excited to watch him. He's a guy who can cover. He's a guy who can get some pressure. He's a guy who can play good against the run. I was so excited to see this front seven play football. And they got destroyed. The entire game, they got destroyed. And the Bears offensive line, they're not a bunch of bums up there, but they're not the best offensive line this team will see. And that is the scary part, because they whooped the Lions front seven. They looked like, that Cowboys offensive line from 4 years ago that just demolished every defensive line that went in front of them. They won that battle pretty much every play, and that was beyond disappointing. That one hurt. Now, I'm going to counter all my negatives here right now. This was the first game without a preseason and without a full training camp. Players are going to be very rusty. It's going to take time to work back into the season. I will say that counter now, but I am still beyond disappointed in that defensive front seven. And the defense, you're just not going to hear me say a lot of positives about them. So to actually get started on the positives, I think the first big positive everyone took away is TJ Hockenson. While he blew some blocking plays, there's a couple times where, you know, he missed his man on the run blocks. You know, there was one, I think it was a stretch play to Kerryon or Swift, and he just absolutely whiffed. He Matthew Stafford's QB, his little read option, TJ Hockenson completely whiffed on his block on that one. So yeah, he had some negatives, but his emergence as a receiving threat was absolutely exciting. That he didn't get drafted as high as he did to be a blocker. He got drafted as high as he did because the Lions thought he could be an elite receiving threat, and he showed it. He was great, especially in that stretch that right before the end of the first half, he was incredible. Another pro, there's two sports I watch. I watch football, I watch basketball. In both those sports, what you hear a lot of coaches say are the most important times is how you end the first half and how you start the second half. Well, the Lions ended the first half on a tear with that big touchdown after they forced the Chicago Bears to have like a 20-second drive. And then they fired off in the second half just hot. Matthew Stafford in that stretch was like 9 of 9. He was just slinging the football, throwing it into tight windows. He looked incredible. Other positives, Adrian Peterson. He had a great first game for the Lions. Everyone says that running backs have a shelf life. You know, they aren't going to last long in this league. AP just continues to come out and tear up this league. He is an incredible, incredible player. And, you know, he might not be quite as explosive as he used to be, but there's still explosion there. And he had a couple runs that just made my jaw drop. I did not think a man of his age and, you know, the wear and tear that's been put on his body, I did not think he would be able to make those plays, and he did. Other positives, the offensive line. I thought the Chicago Bears defensive line, Akeem Hicks, Khalil Mack, between those two alone, they are a very, very good defensive line. And their other guys are just as good. They have really good players on that D-line, but Akeem Hicks and Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks is a stud and Khalil Mack is a superstar. And I thought the Lions offensive line, they held up well. The fact that you can't complain about them too much is a sign of how well they held up. I'm very, very encouraged with that offensive line. And that was without a starter playing in Halepulavadi Vaitai. So getting him back will help a lot. My next positive, Danny Amendola. Danny Amendola, again, showed why I was so happy he got re-signed. That man is just such a sure-handed receiver who not only is sure-handed, but even though he is not a fast guy, he gets open. He can run routes. He does the things that Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones don't do well. Those guys, they can go down the field and catch those contested balls. Danny, he gets open. He sits, he knows how to read the defense, find the hole in the zone, sit in it, and just get the ball in his hands. Stafford showed it. He is the security. I'm pretty sure he's going to be the security blanket this year. You know, Kenny will be the guy. If it really starts to break down, you just sling the ball up to him and let him get the jump ball. But on a lot of third downs, or if they have to ever try to convert fourth downs, be ready to see that ball headed towards Danny Amendola. He is a very good, sure-handed receiver. And my last positive is a sort of positive. Quintez Cephas had a solid rookie debut for, you know, a late-round pick. Wasn't great. Had a couple drops that he probably should have held on to, but also had a couple good catches that, you know, showed some flash. And the fact that the coaching staff trusted him to have him out there that much, Matthew Stafford trusted him throwing the ball his way a ton, that those are the positives you need to see. Now, the negatives. I've already mentioned that front seven. That front seven just leaves me speechless. I was so disappointed. Beyond that, I thought the back four in the secondary played fine. The two injuries that, or technically the three injuries at corner, if you count Okuda too, that's a big time negative. That's nothing on the players. That's nothing on the coaching staff. That is just what I call Lions luck. Game one, things are looking pretty good. You lose, you know, two of your top three corners. That's just what we deal with. Going towards the offensive side of the ball, I didn't think Matthew Stafford was very good. That was to be expected. Timing was definitely, I expected his timing to be off. There was, you know, a shortened training camp. It wasn't, you know, what he's used to. There was no preseason. So, and, you know, everyone's like, oh, well, he wouldn't play in the preseason. He probably wouldn't have. But those receivers, you know, Marvin and Kenny might not have played. Danny might not have played. But Quintez Cephas would have played. Yeah, Jamal Agnew, who's been moved to slot, he probably would have played. And those guys, they need the timing, you know, just working with any quarterback. They need that timing on their routes in in-game action just as much as Stafford needs that timing. And so, you know, especially without his number one guy out there, Kenny Golladay, timing was off. There's a couple times you could see him and you could really see it between him and Cephas. The timing just wasn't there. That's something I expect to be, you know, by the time we're in game six, game seven, you won't even have a complaint about that. You're probably, you know, game one, we have that complaint. Game two might linger. Game three might linger. But by the time four, five, six, seven, all those games start rolling around, that complaint's gone. Other than that, Stafford didn't look like the Stafford we saw last year. And there's many reasons that could have been. First, he looked a little slower. You know, the couple runs he had, they were still fine. But he wasn't as comfortable. He didn't look as comfortable running the football as he has in years past. Number two, he didn't have that gunslinger in him. And that was something that we really saw Bevel unlock last year in the few games he played. Stafford came out and just slung the football. Now, he probably didn't have that gunslinger in him because Kenny Golladay, one of the top deep threats in the NFL, wasn't out there. So I'm still that my whole complaint with Stafford's game in game one, that's one that I'm like, it wasn't great, but I'm going to hold out on it because I think there's a lot of reasons why, you know, he wasn't the player that we expected. And the third reason that I think that he wasn't the player we expected, Chicago's D-line against not just a mediocre Lions offensive line, you know, what we all expected to be a mediocre Lions offensive line, but a mediocre Lions offensive line missing their starting right tackle who Khalil Mack was going to work against most of the game. So those are the three main reasons why I think Stafford didn't look as good as we expected. But even with us saying he didn't look as good as we expected, that stretch he had, that 8-for-8 or 9-for-9, whatever it was, to close the second or close the first half and open the second half, that was incredible. And that goes back. That goes to my next negative. Stafford comes out. He's slinging the football in the first half, comes out to the second half, keeps slinging the football, making great plays. And we just get conservative. This is my biggest negative of this game. We get conservative. And I get it. You want to kill some clock. The run game was working. Adrian Peterson was making plays. But your quarterback is hot. You got to keep him hot. You have to give him, you know, a couple first and second down throws to keep him hot. You can't just keep letting him hand the ball off and expecting him to make a play on third down. That's how you cool a quarterback off. And Matthew Stafford cooled off. And once that happened, as soon as that happened, I said, this team doesn't have a chance this game. Now, you know, you want to be more of an optimistic. And I still thought that the defense could hold up. Mitch, I'm going to have to give credit where credit's due. Mitch Trubisky made some incredible plays. He made plays that I didn't think Mitch Trubisky would ever make in his career. Now, again, that could be Mitch Trubisky, you know, progressing as a player, or that could go back to what I called it earlier, Lions luck. Mitch Trubisky, you know, threading needles that he will never thread again. It could be either one. It's too early to tell. We'll see. But the conservative play calling on offense really, really bothered me. Matthew Stafford is one of the few quarterbacks in the NFL who can both be a game manager and be highly effective as that, and be a gunslinger and be highly effective as that. But he's at his best when you have him do both. You have to let him sling the football. That is his best trait. And they took that away from him after that first drive in the second half. And that was, I think, the biggest mistake of the game. My next negative, Kerryon Johnson. Kerryon Johnson did not look good. He did not look good last year. He did not look good in game one. I still hold hope. There is still a lot of talent in that dude. He is a very good football player, but I can't tell what has happened. It has he either he's either lost some burst, some explosion, or he just can't find holes anymore. I don't know which one it is, but he just cannot get into open field like he used to. His rookie year, he was so good at squeezing through these tiny holes to get into open field, and once he was in open field, he could either make people miss by, just dancing around them or by bouncing off them, but he cannot get in open field anymore, and it's taken away the best part of his game. And you look at a team like the Panthers or Christian McCaffrey, who's another running back who's just exceptional in open field. They design plays to get him in open field, and most of those plays are him as a receiver. Kerryon Johnson's not that good of a receiver, and other than screen passes, I don't know how else you can use them to get him in open field, but they need to figure something out for him. Otherwise, he's just not going to be a, unless he figures something out, unless he can figure out how to be the player he once was, the Lions are going to have to think of something to get him the ball in open space, because he just couldn't find his way into open space this game, and he couldn't really do it last year either. And that's disappointing, but still, fingers crossed for him. And I'm not going to put DeAndre Swift as a negative. He made a rookie mistake. He dropped a football. It would have been a tough catch. It was a very catchable catch. He made a mistake. He turned, it happens. I'm not going to list him as a negative. He didn't do anything overly incredible. He didn't do anything to just wow me and be like, yes, he's a positive. And he didn't make enough of mistakes for me to call him a negative. Everyone, I know a lot of people want to blame that drop on him. I'm not going to. The Lions should have never been in that position to begin with. I mean, they had that game. Not only did they have that game in their hands, but they had a blowout in their hands. After that first drive to start the second half, they should have blown that team out of the water. But they got conservative and let him back in it. I'm not going to put that on DeAndre Swift. For me, I'm going right back to it. The biggest negative of this game was the coaching. But once again, rewatching it, sitting on it, thinking about it, I'm going to give Patricia and Quinn. Well, I've been giving Quinn a pass. I'm going to give Patricia and Bevel and Corey Unlin a pass. It's concerning. The conservative play calling is concerning. Patricia's inability to hold a lead is concerning. But it is game one in one of the most insanely odd, ridiculously weird, unpredictable seasons ever. So unpredictable things will happen. But I'm giving Patricia and the staff a pass for game one. They have until game three to prove to me that they've actually learned from their previous mistakes. And not just their previous mistakes. I want Daryl Bevel to learn from what was working so well last season when he had Matthew Stafford. And that was him slinging the football, creating these, they did all those flea flickers to get Matt Stafford, to open a game with a deep ball. I want to see that Daryl Bevel again. And the Bears defense is good, and the Lions had a competent running game against them. So Daryl Bevel should have the tools. I mean, again, it's game one in a weird season, so these things might not work out, but I'm looking at what did work in this game. Daryl Bevel should have the tools, especially when Kenny Golladay comes back, to have one of the most explosive offenses in the NFL. I'm giving them 3 games. They have two more games to show me that they've learned. Defense, I'm going to give a little bit of a, it's a little different for Unlin and Patricia. I'm going to give them a little bit of a break due to that secondary and the injuries they've, sustained. But that front seven has to be better. That front seven was abysmal. They have to be better if this team wants to. I have playoff aspirations for this team. I think they have the talent to get there. But if that front seven's going to play like that, if they're not going to make not just strides, but major strides off that first game, then this team has no chance at the playoffs because quarterbacks are going to sit back there all day. Mitch Trubisky sat back there all day and diced up this Lions secondary. Think what a quarterback like Rodgers will do. Kyler Murray and when we play the Cardinals. Kirk Cousins will dice that defense up if that's the pressure this D-line's going to get. Gardner Minshew will dice this defense up if that's the pressure this defensive line's going to get. This Lions team will get picked apart if that is the type of pathetic pressure that this D-line, this, in air quotes, improved D-line is going to put on quarterbacks. That is my biggest concern right now. Even the conservative play calling isn't as big of a concern to me, because a lot of teams go to that conservative play calling and still hold out wins. And I think the Lions can get to the point where they can even go to that conservative play calling and still hold out a win. But that defensive line has to be better, because they looked awful. They looked slow and sluggish. And I'm just realizing I missed the number one negative of this game, and that was Jamie Collins. I have no words. Think what you will about the call. Should it have been a flag? Yeah. Should it have been thrown out of a game? No. Did the ref absolutely just sell the fact that he got whacked by a player even though he barely got touched? For sure. He even leaned into it. I still think Collins should have been flagged. What he was doing was he was being an idiot. He shouldn't have been thrown out of a game. I mean, that's ridiculous. And the NFL... the NFL basically said he should not have been thrown out of a game with the fact that they did not suspend him. But just what a dumb play. What a dumb, not, it wasn't even a play. What a dumb decision to hurt your team. They need him to be a star this year. That defense is going to need him to be a star. And not just a star football player. They need him to be the leader. They need him to bring a lot of heart and soul to this team, because that's something that defense didn't have, was heart and soul. And he gets thrown out of the game. What? 10 plays in? He's got to be better. Now, I'm going to go off to another talking topic. I just said something. And this was something I was thinking after the game. I even made a tweet about it. The Lions defense didn't have any heart or any soul, any attitude. They don't play with attitude. And this is my other big knock on Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn. And not so much Bob Quinn, because Bob Quinn didn't do these things until Matt Patricia showed up. They've traded every single player away that has questioned Matt Patricia. They traded away every single player who has questioned Matt Patricia and his philosophy, because Matt Patricia didn't want to have to. Instead of trying to take these great players like Darius Slay, Quandre Diggs, instead of taking these types of guys who play with all this attitude and all this heart, who are going to play hard every night and make big plays, instead of trying to take these guys and convince them that the way you want to play football is the right way, they just got rid of them because they didn't want to deal with them. And I think it showed, because that defense had no heart. And now, Matt Patricia is going to have to find a way to make them play with heart. Because if they keep playing as soft as they did, they're going to get destroyed all season long. That was just another one of those little things I wanted to bring up real quick that I was thinking while watching that game. But now on to my actual next topic. My expectations for this team going forward. And my expectations do not change. They do not. And I even expect us to lose to the Packers and drop to 0-2. But I still think this team can hit 9 wins. I think they can still hit 9-10 wins and be fighting for a playoff spot. And I think anything under 9 wins, and it's a failure of a season, personally. I mean, you have an incredible, incredible quarterback in Matthew Stafford. Not just incredible, but playing in what is considered to be his prime years, 32 years old. He has pieces around him. Kenny Golladay, Marvin Jones, TJ Hawkinson, Adrian Peterson, DeAndre Swift. There are pieces around him. The defense has good players. Duran Harmon is a good safety. Tracy Walker is a good safety. You just spent a top pick on Jeff Okuda. You spent a decent amount of money on Desmond Trufant, who's been, a very consistently good cornerback. You spent a lot of money to bring Jamie Collins over. You spent a lot of money on Trey Flowers. This defense has talent. This team should be competing for a playoff spot, and if they are not, it is a failure. And if it is a failure, Patricia is probably fired. And if Patricia is fired, I think Bob Quinn is fired too. I don't like it. I actually have liked the job Bob Quinn has done. I've liked, you know, people will bring up his drafting, and his drafting's been pretty hit or miss. That's to be expected of young GMs. But he has done an incredible job in the free agent of getting good players on decent contracts and just absolutely salvaging one of the worst cap situations and giving the Lions one of the best cap situations. He's done a good job, but I think that he sold his soul to the devil to keep Matt Patricia here. And I think that if this season's a failure, he will be gone with him. And the other part of that is if this season's a failure and they get rid of Patricia and Quinn, they might be looking to absolutely rebuild this team. And that includes getting rid of Matt Stafford. That is a scenario I do not even want to bring up more than what I just did. It is a scenario I don't even want to think about. Like many of you, I absolutely love Matthew Stafford. And if I had to go through a Sunday of even watching him come out there and lose, I would rather watch him come out and lose games than have to, you know, watch a Sunday without him, because I love that man and I would be so devastated to not see him playing for my team. But there's a good chance that if this season is a failure, that could be the case. And that is just the unfortunate truth of it all. But in summation, after sitting on it and thinking about it for a couple days, I think the Lions are in a much... I don't think this loss is as bad as a lot of us thought it was at first, you know, in that heat of the moment and that all that emotion. But I need to see this team come out and learn from it. And more importantly, I need to see this team come out and have their stars playing. I need to see Kenny Golladay on the football field. He is too good. The Lions need him. They absolutely need him. Because not only when he is not out there do not get him as a deep threat, but Marvin Jones was pretty much held in check all game because that's who they were keying off on. You know, they kept their eyes on Marvin Jones, and the only person who consistently made an impact was Danny Amendola and Hockenson for, you know, about three drives. They need Kenny Golladay out there because he's going to open up the field for everyone. They need Okuda out there because, I mean, right now they just don't have anyone else. They don't have another cornerback on this roster. They need their top pick out there and playing football really well. But once again, I still have high hopes for this team. I think Matthew Stafford, I think that's the worst game we're going to see him play all season long. I don't think he's going to come out and miss throws like that. Again, I think this defense will improve. Their front seven has to if they want to win games, but I think they will be better. Their offensive line was encouraging. They did a good job in pass pro and opening up holes for Adrian Peterson. I'm still excited for this season and to see where this team goes. But there's a lot of areas they need to improve. That's all for me this episode. If you have any ideas for next week or for next time I record, just send them to me. Talking points you want me to go over. If you know you want to, if you hear one of the points I make and it, you have a rebuttal to it, you have something you have a different idea you want to voice, you know, send it to me, DM me on Twitter with, you know, your opinion. I will read it. I would love to bring it up on the show and try to, you know, talk through it. And maybe if you just want to build off a point that I made that you're like, I agree, but I'm going to take it a step further, do that too. Send me a DM. Let me know. I will give you, you know, I'm not here to take anyone's ideas from them. I'll give you credit for what you're saying. And, you know, I just want this all to be, I want this to be a very collective, communitive podcast. And hopefully in the future, I want to start working on, you know, getting people on it with me too, so that there's multiple voices and not just one person's opinions, but multiple opinions from different sides of this team's fandom. But again, that's it. Hope you guys enjoyed, and let me know what you're thinking about game one, and let me know how you're just feeling overall this season. I'll see y'all next time.